Okay, we're going to begin the bottom of Membabwebet, the last line. Amar Rabba Amar Rav Huna. M'chor li be'edu kana. Se be'yesh alav una'a. So a person comes along with a handful of money. Says this individual, sell me this item with what I have in my hand, and he hands him what he has in his hand. The seller does not count what's in his hand. He just accepts whatever's in his hand. He trusts him. Says he gives him the money, takes the object. So now, number one, Amar Rabba Rav Huna says, Kana, it works. There's a kinyan over here. Second of all, Yesh Lev Una'ah. Not only is there a kinyan, but there still is a value assessment as to whether the money that he gave him reflects the true value of the object, that we will have an Isur Una'ah. If it's overcharged, undercharged, the Isur Una'ah will apply. Why is this? Kana. He's kone, even though he didn't do any kinyan mishicha. The came into lo kapid, since he's not mafid, kana, he's kone dechi chalipin dami. This is like a kinyan chalipin. So instead of purchasing with the monetary value, the underlying monetary value, you are purchasing with the representative object which you're handing him, which is this handful of money, that creates the kinyan chalipin over here.
That's it.
Okay, very good. So the Gemara is going to have to ask, what about, right? Ein matbea, maseh chalipin. So, very good. V'yesh lo alav ona'ah. So why is there ona'ah? De'mocho li be'elu kamra. Because the terminology, or the wording that he uses, mochor li. So when he says mochor li, means sell it to me. So that means transactional. If it's transactional, then the assumption is that there is a buying and selling going on. If there's a buying and selling going on, there's got to be some sort of equivalence between the purchase price and the money that's being given. Now, Rav Abba Amar Rav Huna. So this is Rav Abba instead of Rav over Rav Abba saying in the name of Rav Huna. Chodli be'edu. If he uses the same terminology, he says kana ve'ein lo alav ona. He says that the kinyan works, but he doesn't have ona. Now the kinyan works because, again, using it like kichalipin dami. Ein lo alav ona is because he never counted the money. If he's not makpid to count the money, then how could you suggest that there is, right, there is any ona'ah here? Pshita damim ve'ein makpid alehem. If we're using money here, monetary means, and he's not, right, makpid, ha kamrinan dekani dechalipin dam. There you say there's a kinyan because they act like chalipin. Chalipin umakpid alehem mai. On the other hand, if he does the exchange, right, again, betorat chayfetz, betorat chalipin, but he is makpid on the value, what is the din? I mean, as opposed to here, what we're saying is that money can act like chalipin when you don't focus on the value that's been given to you, just the object that's been given to you. What happens the other way around? If the object that's being used for the chalipin, you're makpid on the value of that object. Does that then take it out of the parsha of chalipin, or is it still chalipin? So, Amar Rav Ada bar Abba Tashma. Hareish ayat to face parato v'omeid, right? He was holding on to his para. V'achaveiro v'amelo paratcha lama, right? So he says, what are you doing with this para? He's going to the shuk with his para. He's saying, what do you do with this? He says, the chamor ani tzarich. Says, I need to exchange it. I need to change it for a chamor. Yesh li chamor shaniten lecha, right? So he says, I have a chamor that I can give you. Paratcha b'kamo. How much do you want for your para? He says, b'kach b'kach. Says chamorcha b'kamel. How much is your chamor worth? B'kach b'kach. Mashach balapar ma'bal chamor etapara. The bal chamor takes possession on the para. There's a kinyan mishicha on it. V'lo yispik balapara b'shoch et chamor. But before the balapara has a chance to take the chamor, his friend, ad shemet chamor. Chamor dies. Lo kana bal chamor etapara. Right. So then there's no kinyan over here. There is no kinyan over here now. If it was a kinyan chalipin should work that when the first person made a kinyan on the para, automatically the chamor should have gone into the possession of the buyer. But here, what are we saying? The chamor dies and the whole thing is unwound. Shmamina chalipin umakpid adayim lo kana. Must be what? This is a kinyan chalipin here, you're right. But they're makpid. Why are they makpid? Because they said, paratcha b'kama b'kama, and chamorcha b'kama b'kama. The fact that they were sending values, right, and through those values making the transaction, that indicates there's akpada on what the object being used is for the chalipin. So, lo kana. Amar Rav, atu chalipin b'shuftani yaskinen, the little captain, says what? Every kinin chalipin is dealing with a bunch of fools who don't care about what they get in exchange? No, that's not the case here. Ela ko chalipin mikve kabte v'kano. Every chalipin, the people are makbid, right? And nevertheless, you are, right, still konet. Now, what does it mean, mikve kpite? I mean, what does it mean that they're mikve kpite? It can't mean that they are makbid to get the entire value. Tosu says, kolachabin mikve kpite means shiyub shavin ktsat. That it'd be worth something. You can't do a kinyan chalipin on something that is worthless. You have to have some value in what the kinyan chalipin is being done with. And therefore, if there is an akhpada, we know that kinyan chalipin can work even in the face of a akhpada. Well, if that's the case, how do you explain, right, how do you explain the chamor and the parah here? Vachob ma'eskinan, damalei chamor bipara utleh. He says, let me exchange the chamor for a parah and a tleh. Wasn't enough. He didn't give him just the parah and the chamor. Now, damalei chamor bipara utleh, right, that I'm going to exchange my chamor for your parah and a tleh. Umashachet ha-parah. And did a kinyan mishicha on the parah, but dying lo mashachah the tzleh. But he didn't do a mishicha on the tzleh. To lo havelei mishicha ma'alyo. That's not a complete mishicha. Meaning that.
He didn't take the whole
He didn't take the whole purchase in one direction. So since he only did a mishicha on the parah, he didn't complete it. If he had taken both the parah and the tzleh in hochanami, that the chamor would belong to you. But the fact that he only took the parah is not sufficient over here. So now, mamar, mechorli be'elu, kana. Right, so that was what we said before. That if you say, give him a handful of money, says that kana, beyesh level na, and he has one on it. Lema, savar, this is what you're asking, Shaul, savar Ravuna, matvea, nase chalipin. Because both according to the way Rabba and the way Rav Abba explains Ravuna, they both agree that when you hand him the handful of money, it works, or it's acting like a kinyan chalipin. If it's acting like a kinyan chalipin, that means Ravuna must believe that matbea nase chalipin, that you can use a coin. As long as you're not using the coin as functioning as money or as value, then the coin can act as a kinyan chalipin. Right? So it's low. Ravuna sever like Rabbi Yochanan. Right? Ravuna helps like Rabbi Yochanan. What's Rabbi Yochanan's position? Damar dvar Torah ma'ot konot. That mina Torah, money, right, can be acquired. It can acquire. Right? It can make a formal kinyan. So why did the Chachamim institute that you can't, money in itself is not sufficient to solidify a transaction? Right, so that again, the idea that we don't want the mocher to sell him the object, then the koneh is in possession, the lokeach is in possession of the item, but it's still in the property of the mocher, and something happens to it and the mocher doesn't care. So now, Mar says, milto d'shchicha gazru barabban. In common types of transactions, chamim or gozer. That means that's a normal purchase, a normal monetary purchase. Umilta de lo shchicha, in a case where it's not a common purchase, lo gazru barabana. Exactly like our case over here.
Well, exactly. That he takes the coins without bothering to count how much they're.
Right, that's very unusual, right? That doesn't seem normal. So, anyway, it works like a chalipin in the sense that the ma'ot are kanot right away. I mean, as opposed to ma'ot in a normal case where you'd have to also have a kinyan mishicha in order for the transaction to be finalized. Here, the ma'ot in and themselves, the handing of ma'ot creates the kinyan, not because of chalipin, but because, like chalipin. Like chalipin, where the sudar creates the kinyan right away, you don't need anything in addition to that. Right over here too, the handing of the money is sufficient to create the kinyan, and that's what it means, chalipin dami. Chalipin dami is that this is enough, and this creates the kinyan. So, Amale Marhuna Braid Rav Nachman of Rashi, Atun Hocham et Nitula. You guys, you wrote it this way, meaning that you had a safek about what the position of Rav Huna was, and then you suggested that Rav Huna doesn't have to hold them and Be'ah is Kabbalipin, but he can also hold that it is Ma'ot Konot Minatorah, like Rabbi Yochanan. Anan Hocham et Nitula. We learned this, we had this memra directly from Rav Huna, V'chenam Rav Huna, which matches to what we had in yesterday's daf, which is Chena Ma'ula, Chena Ma'ravasi, Chena Ma'rabba Barachanam Rabbi Yochanan, that Ein Matbe'a Nasei Chalipin. So they had the same memra also by Rav Huna, Chena Ma'ravuna, Ein Matbe'a Nasei Chalipin. That we have it explicit from Rav Huna, that Ein Matbe'a Nasei Chalipin, we know for certain, and so therefore the only way to explain the words of Rav Huna is that it's Ma'ot Konot Midoraisa, that it is a right, Kinyan Ma'ot Alpi Rabbi Yochanan. And not any other way, as opposed to you who weren't sure. And therefore you suggested alternatives. Could either be Matvein Asel Chalipin, or it could be that it's Rabbi Yochanan. We definitely know that Rav Huna must hold of Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, now, We've been dancing around or skirting around the issue a little bit, which is today's daf in Zayin Aleph really has two major sugyot on it, and one of them is Kinyan Chalipin. Right? Kinyan Chalipin, which we've touched on dynamics of the Kinyan Chalipin, but we never discussed really what Kinyan Chalipin is. So I just said, take 2 minutes here just to explain, or just give some background about how the Rishonim and Achronim look at Kinyan Chalipin. The first thing is, and first thing one has to ask is, Kinyan Chalipin, right, what's the source for Kinyan Chalipin? The Gemara in a second is going to bring a pasuk from Gilat Rut as the source of Kinyan Chalipin. Whether this Kinyan is a Kinyan Midoraisa, right, which the, like a Sagot Ramban, and the Sefer Mitzvot on the Shor Shvet says that the Kinyan Chalipin is a Kinyan Midoraisa. It's a Torah, right, or the Torah ordained or endorsed type of Kinyan. There are others who don't know that a Kinyan Chalipin is simply a Kinyan Midrabanan. Rabbanan instituted that such a Kinyan could work. It was already instituted in the time of Rut, or that was what they used, and again, because of the Chachamim. But it's not a De'oraisa level Kinyan. Rather, it's a Kinyan Midrabanan. The other possibility is that it's a minhag. In minhag, in the sense that it was a social, right, agreement, a social contract of sorts, that people agreed that the Kinyan Chalipin would work. I think that's the Devar Avraham suggested something like that, that it's a minhag. So you have a possibility that Kinyan Chalipin is either Doraisa, the Rabbanan, or minhag. Now, once you have the Kinyan Chalipin,
minhag really just the sense that
social contract, social agreement.
Accepted
that they instituted it in order to ease, right, transactions, and because of that, possibly, Mamad Shloshtam, again, what does Mamad Shloshtam do? Maybe that's the same type of concept. The Kinyan Chalipin, how does it exactly work? How does it work from two levels? Number one is, what is Botzei the Kinyan? When you do a Kinyan Chalipin and you take the Sudar, what does that mean? The Maskana, the Kona gives the Sudar to the Mocher, and then he, in exchange, gets the item that he's purchasing back. What does that mean? Does that mean that it's a tachlif? It's an exchange, right? Meaning that it's an exchange, meaning I'm handing you the Kinyan Sudar, in exchange for that I'm getting the, say, para over here. Or do we say that the fact that I give you the Sudar and you do Mashicha, it's as if I did a Mashicha on the other item. Again, is it a tachlif? Is it an exchange? Or is it, meaning that if you do a Kinyan Mashicha, it's as if I did a Kinyan Mashicha on the other item. Now, why does this make a difference? It makes a difference in how you view Kinyan Chalipin. How does Kinyan Chalipin work? Is Kinyan Chalipin what we call tachlif or tmura? Is an exchange of quote-unquote value? Tosfos and Gitin, for instance, suggest that a Kinyan Chalipin works exactly like a Kinyan Damin. A Kinyan Chalipin can do exactly what a Kinyan Damin can do. Whatever money can buy, right, or whatever money can do, Kinyan Chalipin can also do, because Kinyan Chalipin is a type of, right, monetary transaction. If you say that, then it seems that the kinyan is a kinyan of tmura, right? It's a kinyan of exchange, which is I hand you the sudar, and I get in exchange for that, I get back an item. On the other hand, you could view the kinyan sudar as what's called gemirat hadat. And it's not that the kinyan sudar in and of itself is an exchange of value, or an exchange of any sorts, but rather, right, it's a gemirat hadat. We have to somehow, it's a representative kinyan. That representative Kinyan says that even though we've discussed something, without some sort of maisa, without some sort of action, right, that completes the transaction, it doesn't take on the force of a Kinyan. So how do I make it that whatever we just agreed takes on the force of a Kinyan? We have a representative Kinyan, a Gemira Tadat. That Kinyan establishes for us a Gemira Tadat, that whatever we just spoke about is real, and now is sealed. So that would be the other way. So in that sense, right, the Kinyan here, is not affecting as necessarily as a tmura, some sort of exchange, but rather, right, the kinyan is functioning as representing the exchange between us. But that exchange between us could be that we each are moshech, right? That each of us is equivalent of having a mashikha on the item, right? But not that we are exchanging value in any sense. Rather, we're just trying to seal the deal, like a handshake. And the equivalent of what we say sometimes here, right? We'll shake on the deal, right? So that would mean this equivalent here of a Kinyan Chalipin is that it completes the seals there, right? The Gemirat Hadat of the deal, right? So you have to, in the context of looking at the Kinyan Chalipin, you have to focus or think about all these items. So number one, whether it's Doraita, Derabanan, or Minhag. Right? The other is, how is the Kinyan functioning? Is the Kinyan functioning as an exchange? Right, we just discussed a little bit about that, which is the Gemara. We just discussed what happens if the person's makpid on the value of the, right, the tmura that he's getting, the value of the sudar. Does it work? Well, that depends on what the Kinyan Sudar is doing. Meaning that if it's an exchange of value, right? If it's a Tumurah, that's exactly what the concept is, then maybe it's not such a problem. If you say that it's a, right, exchange, the handing of the Sudar represents a Meshikha that gives you a return Meshikha on the other item, then value may not be as important, or as, right, can't that help Badak, may not be as, may actually detract from the form of the Kinyan. And then again, you have to focus on, once the Kinyan is done, is it working, again, as Tumurah, as exchange, right? Or is it working as a Kinyan, as a Kinyan of Gemira Tadat? Right? The Tumurah is like a Kinyan Kesef in some way, that there's a value exchange being handed over here. Again, it would relate to the Gemara we just read. And Tosus, again, he did, again, makes that explicit statement that Kinyan Chalipin works like Kinyan Damim. And the other hand, it could be just Gemira Tadat, simply an idea for creating a Gemira Tadat. It's a way to seal it. And if you talk about it being a Minhag, again, it could work with the rights of the Rabbanan or Minhag, but if you talk about it being a Minhag, that would explain, right, why they were nohag to do such a thing, which is not that it was an exchange of value in a search, but that was a way to seal the deal. Again, like shaking hands is a way of Gemira Tadat by a transaction. So to over here, a handing of the Sudar would be a Gemira Tadat.
This brings the explanation that it's an exchange of value, and how do you reconcile that with the fact that the Sudar is
not worth the whole amount.
Yeah.
Alright, so then we'll see in a second. We're going to go into Kinyan Ma'ot in the second half of today's daf, and I'll work it through there. But I'll give you the highlight, but the sense is that maybe the other part is a loan. I mean, that you're giving the entire value. The handkerchief is representative value, like a down payment. And then the rest of the value becomes a, right, the milveh to you. So that's how you'd have to say it, same way that you would say it by ma'ot. We can discuss that when we get to ma'ot the rest of the day. Alright, now.
The last thing to note before we start here is a kinyan called kinyan chalipin shel shaveh b'shaveh. Now this kinyan chalipin shel shaveh b'shaveh is basically a barter exchange. It's where you're exchanging items, not for their value, but we're exchanging merchandise, one for the other, produce, one for the other. So it's an equal, like-for-like exchange. A lot of the Rishonim believe that when you do a kinyan shaveh b'shaveh, when it's a kinyan chalipin, it works like any other kinyan chalipin, has the same dinim, the same rules. The Rabbeinu Tam, and then as a big proponent of the idea that a kinyan chalipin shaveh b'shaveh is actually a super type of kinyan, or exceeds the abilities of a kinyan chalipin. For instance, over here, first of all, the Rabbeinu Tam says that he learns it, or it's found in the pasuk in Megillat Rut, and that we're going to see in a second. Here he says that tumurah zu chalipin shel shaveh b'shaveh. He says the word tumurah and the pasuk is actually referring to this type of kinyan chalipin, and that kinyan chalipin is mahani the kuli alma afilu bepere. That it's a kinyan chalipin that works even according to Rav Nachman, who we're going to see in a couple minutes, and we've seen a couple of times, who says it only works by kelim. A kinyan chalipin will agree by a kinyan chalipin shaveh b'shaveh that it works even by peirot. So Rabbeinu Tam thinks that the kinyan chalipin shaveh b'shaveh has more power, or is a better form of kinyan, and it can do more than just a regular kinyan chalipin. The Rishonim that believe that a kinyan chalipin shaveh b'shaveh is similar to a regular kinyan chalipin. Okay, now.
Now, the Gemara now discusses, which is, in other places in Jas, it seems that the Gemara is clear that the kinyan chalipin works. Like in the Gemara in Kitin, it sounds like that. When we did the Gemara in Kitin, we discussed this. But that the konet, the one, the buyer, is the one who gives over the sudar. Here in the Gemara, there's machlokas. Who gives the sudar over here? What is it that generates the kinyan chalipin over here? So that machlokas is, b'mai kunin. How are you kunin by kinyan sudar? Rav Amar, b'kilav shol kunin. Right, with the possessions of the kunin. The kunin is the one who hands the object to him. So when he hands the object, right, it's the exchange of some sort that happens over here. Denechle the kunin, t'labi makne kunin. The kunin is, wants the makne to take possession. Hechle the gmar, v'lik nele. In order that he will complete and give over here to him the kinyan in exchange. Right, so again, one of the things that stands out a little bit here is that ligmar, right, that he will, there's some sort of gemir at the dat here. Right now, it's not mukhbach, but the fact that the term is used here, you have to, in your back of your mind, you have to say, oh, ligmar, that he's trying to create a gemir at the dat, and handing by the koneh the object to the mocher gives a gemir at the dat, the mocher is willing to give it back to him. What does it mean that he's giving it back to him? Again, is he giving it back as an exchange of value? Or they're exchanging kinyane mishicha. The fact that you give it to him, now he's makne to you, even though you don't physically take possession, but makne to you as a kinyan mishicha. Right? The lady amar, b'kelam shom makne. No, it's the mocher who's giving over the sudar over here.
You said konen mocher, but you yourself said that these aren't real terms.
Yeah.
You have chalipin with two objects.
Right, so there it becomes, right, who's the konan, who's the mocher, is right, is more difficult. Then it might be initiation, might have to do with it, right? Alright, so v'levi amar v'kelev shel makneh. Has to do with, it do with the kelim of the makneh, right, k'dvi'ina, the meymar, the kamat. So that we will, as we're about to say later on. So now, amar le ravuna midiskatara the ravo. Right, so Ravuna Sev and Disco says to Rava, Ula Levi, the Marbu Kilav Shel Makneh. He says it's the Kilim of the Makneh that are the ones that work here. Ha Kakani Ara Agav Kalima. Because one of the items that you can use a Kenyan Khalibin for is land. So say you go to buy land. You're a purchaser, you go ahead, Shaul shows up here and says, David, can you sell me some land? So now, according to Levi, David, you hand him your glasses to Shaul and say, here, make a Kenyan Khalibin on it. So now, what is that? Shaul is buying your land, and you're handing him your glasses as a Kenyan Chalipin. So I'm taking metaltalin, and because of those metaltalin, you are kone the land, right, that comes along with it. Imkein, habulei nechosim sheish len achrayut. Then you have land, which is classified as real property, that generally has recourse associated with it. The nickname, and they are being acquired in nechosim sheish len achrayut, metaltalin, they're being nicknamed. The metaltalim are creating the kinyan, and with that kinyan of the metaltalim, you're getting the land along with it. Right? Anan ipchot. We've learned just the opposite in the Mishnah Kiddushin. It's not. The chasim she'en lahem achayut, nicknamed in the chasim she'esh lahem achayut. Kinyan agav only works the other way. Just if I buy the karka, I can take the metaltalim along with the karka. I can do a kinyan agav, the metaltalim with the karka. Right? Whereas the other way around, if I buy metaltalim, I can't get the karka along with the metaltalim. He says, Amarle, Rava responds to the question of Ravuna Midiskritra, Yehava Levi Hocha, if Levi was here, have a Muppet Lachlach Pulsa Denura. He would have, in your eyes, he would have put, Pulsa Denura in other places like lightning bolts, right? But he would have, the way Rashi describes, he would have looked, he would have stared you down, right? Fire from his eyes, and he would have put you into Nidoi to suggest that. Right, believe you would ever say such a thing that is so far-fetched and so ridiculous? That's not the way to explain it. You misunderstood him totally. Misvarat glima maknila? Right, what do you think? He's giving over a glima, he's giving over some sort of coat? I mean, that the transaction is happening because, David, you handed your eyeglasses to Shaul. That is what creates the kinyan here. That has nothing to do with the kinyan. What do you have creates the kinyan here? Bayano, the kabo kabo minay gomer va'aknile. This is something similar to what we saw in Kiddushin. In Kiddushin, we said that if a adam chashuv, right, accepts a gift from a woman, right, then the woman can be nitkadesh, right, to the man, even though she's giving the object. Right, generally, the man must give a pruta worth of value to the woman in order to have Kiddushin. On the other hand, the Gemara Kiddushin gives the example where the woman hands money to or gift to an individual, and she's nitkadesh with that. Not because of the money that she gave to him, but rather the hanoah that he accepted the gift from her. An adam chashuv accepts a gift from her, that hanoah she did kaddish with. So that's what he's suggesting over here, the same thing. Rav is suggesting the explanation in Levi is exactly this. That Levi, with the David handing the object to Shaul, the fact that Shaul accepts the gift, accepts the item from David, with that hanoah that he is accepting it, David is gamar umakneh, gives over the property over to Shaul. So again, that could work.
What would be the Anah? If it's Adam Chashuv, so with the Kavod she has.
Right.
But if here we would say, I would say the only thing I would be able to say is that the fact that he's willing to sell me something else, give me something else.
That the fact that he accepts it, again, that you've spoken about a transaction, now you hand him this item, and the fact that he accepts this item, either because of Gemirat HaDaat or because of the value exchange, the fact that he accepts it from you is indicative. The fact that the transaction is going through, if it's indicative, that hanoah, that he accepted it from you and willing for the transaction to work, that hanoah, you go and say, I'm machne, I give it over to you. That's, the idea here. Now, it's harder to explain. Again, it's easier now to explain gemirat hadaat here as being the function versus exchange, like money, being damin. Because, again, you are saying, the way Rav is formulating it, there is still hanah. The hanah that Shaul gives to you, David, is with what you are maknet. But that hanah is less, I would say, is less likely to be explained as damim, like he's giving you value of some sort, and then that's representative of value in exchange or the beginning of a down payment. I think that to explain it as mir tadat, according to Levi, is a lot easier than to explain it as some sort of exchange, a value here. Right? Again, not mukbah, but I think it's easier to explain. Now,
whoever explained to Levi is that the hanoah that that the seller gets is what he's receiving in exchange.
Right.
So what if he gets something real? Why should it work only with a no?
All right, so that's a good question. Here Tosfos says, "Bekelav shel machneh." It's a good question to ask. Tosfos here, "Bekelav shel machneh," says, "Dafka bekelav shel machneh." So it says it has to be bekelav shel machneh, but lo kelav shel koneh. Right, because in a second we're going to see that they learn it out from the pasuk, and based on the pasuk, right, it would indicate that it can only be one way. We'll see. If you learn it from the pasukim, this makhloka tanaim, it sounds like dafka machneh, dafka koneh. Tosfos Tosfos in Megidin, I think, suggests what you're suggesting, Shaul, which is that if Kelav Shel Machneh worked, then certainly Kelav Shel Koneh could work over here. Right, that maybe, right, if it's all about the Hanoah that the Mokher is getting in the end anyway, all they'd be saying is not only can Kelav Shel Koneh work, also Kelav Shel Machneh can work. Now, it doesn't fit so well into the Gemara here because they're going to, their source in the Gemara from the Megillat root is either or. Meaning that they learn it from the same words, and therefore it can't be, it either works this way or it works the other way. It can't be both. Right now, Kitanai. We have a machlokes tanayim over here. Vizot lifnim b'Yisrael, that this is the pasuk from Rut that gives us that the Boaz is purchasing from the Ploni Amuni, right? The individual who is giving up his rights to perform yibum with Rut and to take the property. So it says, Vizot lifnim b'Yisrael, ala gudula, ve'ala tmura, lekayim kol dabar shalof ish nalo v'natan re'eu. So what does that mean? So the Gemara is going to darshan each word. Gula, zu mechira. Gula means mechira. What does it mean? It's sale. So Rashi seems to indicate here, gula zu mechira means that if you want, if you have a gula, shemachalo mechira gemura bedamim, right, that he gave him a full, right, purchase that he wanted to buy with money, velo kibel ma'ot, and he didn't give money. So how do you, if you want to do a sale, and you don't want to give money, right, how do you do that? And that's the rest of the pasuk. The way Rashi is explaining here, Gula Zu Mechira, is saying that this is an introduction to the rest of the pasuk. We're having a transaction. We have a transaction that doesn't involve money. How do I do that? That's the next words in the pasuk. On the other hand, Rabbeinu Tam learns, no. Gula Zu Mechira means literary Mechira. Okay, again, the word Gula, the parts of the verse is going to bring a proof. L'cheinu Omer, Lo Yigael. Right, that he won't redeem it. Now, the word Lo Yigael appears twice. Right, it appears once by Maaser Behema, it says that Lo Yigael. It also appears, right, by redeeming the property that there is by Memkaro Lachiv, right, Lo Yigael. It says over there, Lo Yigael. So the Lo Yigael that Rabbeinu Tam says we're referring to is the Lo Yigael by Behema. And over there it represents a real Mechira. It means it represents, it's saying Lo Yigael means you may not sell the Maaser Behema. May not sell the Maaser Behema, and therefore the Rabbeinu Tam learns that when the Gemara here says Gula Zu Mechira, means that according to Rabbi Yochanan that means Ma'ot, and according to Reish Lakish that means Meshicha. This is a real Kenyan, totally separate, nothing to do with the rest of the Pasuk. Gula means you can buy something either through Ma'ot or through Meshicha, depending on Rabbi Yochanan or Reish Lakish. Right, and that's statement one. Then, Tmura, Zu Chalipin. Tmura, an exchange, right, that is Chalipin. So again, now it sounds here more like, right, before, as we talked about the Gemara, which talks about Agmire, right, that he had Gemira Tadat, the Gemara heavily leaned into this, into the, right, direction of it being Gemira Tadat, it's clear the Pasuk, the word they use for Chalipin in the Pasuk is Tmura, an exchange. Right, so here it sounds much more like the other Tzad of Chalipin, that it's some form of exchange, not a, right, Gemira Tadat. Chenumar, lo yachlifenu, velo lo yamiroto. Right, you will not exchange it, and you will not, right, flip them. You know, meaning that you can't be, you're not allowed to take the kedusha that is on this animal and exchange it for something else. So the chalipin and the yamir are synonyms, right? The kayim kol davar shalach ishnalo v'natan reyu. Right. So then it says, how do you do this kinyan chalipin? So the kayim kol davar. How do we establish this? According to Rashi, this is the whole, right? The whole pasuk. The puzzle goes gula. We want to do a sale tmura through chalipin, and then now this is telling you how to do it. Right? It doesn't know. Gula is, Gula is Mechira, that's one Kenyan. Then Tmura is Chalipin. How do you execute the Chalipin? That's the rest of the Pasuk, which is Lekayim. Kodavar Shalaf Ishna Alom Natan Reu, Mi Natan Lemi. Who gave what to what? There's a shoe you're being given. Who gave the shoe to whom? And so now, Boaz Natan Goel. Right, Boaz gave it to the Goel. Right, Boaz gives it to Ploni Almoni in order to be Kone over here. So who is who's the Kone? The Kone here is Boaz, right? He's the one who's making the Kenyan. Natan Leguel, and he now offers his shoe to the Ploni Almoni. So who, according to this, who is giving the, I'm just like Rav, right? That the buyer is giving over the item. Rav Yehuda Omer, Rav Yehuda says the opposite, Goel Natan LeBoaz. Now rather, the shoe, right, is that of the Goel, right? And when he took off his shoe and he gave it to Boaz, that affected the Kinyan. Affected the Kinyan because the Mocher was the one who gave over, right, the shoe over here. Now remember that there's also a shoe that's involved with Yibum, right? There's a shoe that's involved with Yibum. Whose shoe would be used by Yibum is the shoe of the, right, the Mocher over here. Ploni Amoni is the one who's not performing the Yibum. He's doing Chalitza in a sense, right? So he's the one who's rejecting it and giving over those rights to Boaz. So, you know, just in the background, you know, I just think that maybe, you know, Rabbi Yehuda does have some, right, reason to believe that it's the shoe of the Mocher, because the shoe is also representative of how someone rejects, right, a Yibum or performing the Yibum.
Because other Fenevi Sagas, this is how it used to be done.
Right.
That's what the Sefer HaChinuch says, by the way. The Sefer HaChinuch says that this is the original Kenyan. Kenyan Chalipin is the... That is the Kenyan. That's how Kenyan established. Everything else is derivative or afterwards. So that's exactly what it says. Zotlifnim Yisrael means that this was a Kenyan that was the Kenyan Hadum of Klal Yisrael. Now, Tana. Konim b'kli, afal pi she'en bo shaveh pruta. The kli that you use over here does not have to have a shaveh pruta. Doesn't have to be worth a full pruta. So now, that's interesting over here because, right, again, how is Kenyan and Philippe been working? Again, what do you want? Now, Tosus discusses over here, it says Vinatan in the Pasuk. And generally when we have Netina is Shavet Pruta. Like for instance, anytime we acquire any type of Netina, we represent a form of Tumah. So he says that's only true, Tosus says, Vitashlumim, when it's payment. That's when Netina means Shavet Pruta. But over here, we're not using it as payment, right? Vinatio, Anitinat Manal Hudarei, Ol Nitinat Mamon. We are not giving money. You're giving over some sort of representation here. Representation doesn't need to be a Shavet Pruta because we're not focused on the monetary value of the object that's here. Again, there I think you can question both ways. If Gemir at the Da'at, maybe you need a Shavet Pruta to give Chashivut to the item, or that there is Gemir at the Da'at here. But again, if it's representative, it's easier to say if it's not Shavet Pruta, that's fine. And then also, if you say it's an exchange, some sort of Chiluf, an exchange over here, you know, depends how you view the exchange. If the exchange representative, if the exchange is representative, right, that here you do Mashiach, I do Mashiach, fine. But if the exchange is gamim, then actually it's like a down payment. I'm giving you a monetary exchange of some sort, then you'd expect it to be worth at least a Shaveh Pruta. Right, so now, Amar Rav Nachman, Lo Shana El Bakli. So this is Rav Nachman, the Machlokes Rav Nachman of Sheshit that we've seen all the way till now. Right, that Rav Nachman says that the Kenyan Chalipin only works with a kli, avol b'peri lo. Anything that is not a kli does not work. Sheshit Amar, filu b'perilot. Sheshit says, right, even perilot, even anything besides kli, any type of item, the talklin work. My time is the Rav Nachman. What's the reason of Rav Nachman? I'm a pro, now lo. Right, that the Pesuk says, how do you affect a Kenyan Chalipin? You use a shoe. Right, ma, now in midrash v'in avol. Now, which is a kli, is what you can use, nothing else. So my time is the Rosh Hashanah. Well, what does Rosh Hashanah do with the Nal and the Pasuk? So Amar Kra, the Kayim, Kol Davar. It says in the Pasuk, the Kayim, Kol Davar. So anything, right? Anything to establish any word here, the Kayim, Kol Davar. Anything you want, you can use. So the Rav Nachman, Nami Aktiv, the Kayim, Kol Davar. Coming from Nachman, what does he do with the fact that the Kayim, Kol Davar? How the Kayim, Kol Davar, Diniknim, Ibimanal. In that you can use a now to acquire anything.
Right? Really what the Pasuk sounds like.
Right. The Kayim Kol Davar, right? In order to acquire anything, then you need a now. You need a shoe to do it. Sheshit Nami Aktiv Nalo. What is Rav Sheshit going to do with the word Nalo? Mechav Rav Sheshit, true. Nalo is defining, but it's not defining like what you're saying, or not, it has to be a kli. But Ma Nalo Davar Misuyam, Alf Kol Davar Misuyam. It has to be a defined whole object. What? Lafuke Chatzi Bimon Chatzi Egos. It's exclude half a pomegranate or half a... Right, nut of some sort, mean that you have to give them a whole item. And not any half items or part of an item. You give them something that is complete and whole because, right, the Kenyan Chalipin, when you're affecting it, you want Gemir Tadat here. Gemir Tadat, you know, on half items, it doesn't feel that that's a real, you know, you don't have to Gemir Tadat, he doesn't get any full hanah from it, whatever it is. Today, how do we, when we write in our, you know, in the contracts, when we write about the Kenyanim, what do we write? Bimona, the kasher, the mekneh abeh. Right, bimona, with the kli, the kasher, that is kasher, is good, the mekneh abeh, to acquire with it. So bimana, When we say that it's done with a mana, meaning with a kli, lafuke means Rav Sheshet. That means when we write that, it means that we're paskening like Rav Nachman and not like Rav Sheshet, because right, we're using a mana. We're specifically saying a kli. Damar konim perot. Rav Sheshet says they're konim perot. Oh, the shtarai that it happened. Right?
Not, sure, not
no, we had that in the, we spoke about many times in Ketubot, that tells us differentiate between shtarot. There's a shtar kinyan and there's a shtar raya. There's two different things, right? I'm according to Perot. The kasher, what does it mean? The kasher, the fuke means shmuel. That comes to exclude shmuel, meaning a kli that is kasher, kasher meaning the amar. Shmuel says you can be kone be meroka. You can be kone with the meroka. Rashi says meroka is kolasui mi galulei bakar. It's a kli made out of dung. And Tosa says Meroka is perish garinet mara. They are date seeds, date pits. Right? Either way, it's something that is not classified as being kasher. It's not like a normal pot of usage or kli of usage. It's considered to be a subpar kli, right? And if it's subpar kli, that doesn't work. So that's mana. Mana. Mana means a kli. Kasher means that if you shmuel, you gotta use a real kli, something that people would normally use.
Shmuel says you don't.
Right, Shmuel says you don't. Lafukim nishmol that we don't we do require that. The maknaya afuke midalevi. Maknaya be means that I will through this I will acquire it. The maknaya be through the kli mano I will acquire it. So that sounds like whose kli is it? It's a kli of the kone over here. Kli of the kone is like Rav and not like Levi. Lafukim midalevi damar kelim shel makne. Mashmalon the maknaya below the knuyet. Right, it's the maknaya is in order to what acquire it. But not in order to give over it, right, to be maknet. It's rather to acquire through this, but not to be maknet. Bey, what does bey mean? Rapapa amar lemute matbeya. Rapapa says this comes to exclude a matbeya, meaning that you can't be matbeya, ain't asef halipin be matbeya. Right, that's what bey means with this, meaning this and something, not something else, this and not a matbeya. Rav Zvidvi, tem ravashi amar lemute isurei ana. With this and not with isurei ana. So isurei ana can't work over here because.
Or do you need to exclude the.
So Iga de Amrei Bey, Amra Papa de Mute Matbeya, the Kasher, right? So then some people say Bey means come to exclude Matbeya, the Kasher, Amra Zvid, Bitem Ravash, the Mute Surayana. The Kasher means that you're excluding Surayana. Ava Morika, lo Itstrich. It comes to Morika, that is Shmuel we don't need because it's clear that that's not of value. Now, why should Surayana work over here? So again, Surayana depends on, again, what the idea of Kinyan Sudar is. If Kinyan Sudar is about a Gemir Tadak, which is representative Kinyan, then the Surayana should not affect. The monetary value of the Sudar should be.
Maybe for sure it can't work. Right. Maybe says that the whole thing is they work based on the amount that you get from
the acceptance of
the gift.
Right, yeah, but the acceptance of the gift doesn't mean you have to use it. The fact that you accepted this item from me shows that you want the transaction to go through, and that's the Hanah generated over here.
Exactly.
I think it's harder, but you don't. It's not mechukak not to say. But the idea again is that Kinyan, according to this, the Kinyan Sudar, if the fact is with thoughts, that can be done by Surah and all. Sounds like we're not doing exchange of value. It's not like a damim, like Tosa just said. It's not a tishlumim. It's not a payment, but rather it's a form of what? It's a form of gemir tadat. It's a form of representative Kinyan. In that case, the Surah Na could function in that way too, because you don't need any monetary value, like less than Shem Eputa. All these things do not apply over here. Again, the fact that at the end of Gemara rejects the Surah Na might indicate that it is working like Teshlumim, it is working like representative payment, like Tosis and Gidin suggest that it's like a form of Kinyan Damim. And now we're going back to the other part of the Mishnah, and then we'll get to Kinyan Damim, and then we'll discuss that. So Asimon Koneh at Matbea. Asimon, my Asimon. What is an Asimon? Zamarav ma'ot anitanot b'siman lebeit ha-merchatz. These are like tokens that are given into the Beit ha-merchatz, meaning that you purchase a token, and then the token is given to the person who warms or puts the water into the Beit ha-merchatz and brings the towels, so he knows how many people. It's a way to count the number of people that are in there, so he knows it gets the token, he lets you in, and he knows how many people to prepare the bathhouse for. So where it says, Neitavei, ein mechalin maser sheni asimon, you're not allowed to redeem. And not on these tokens that are given in the Beit HaMerchatz. Michal, that simon, la ma'ot hanitanot b'siman the Beit HaMerchatz. It seems like they're two different items. One's asimon and one is ma'ot hanitanot b'merchatz. B'chitei ma'perushe kamefarish. Right, the Gemara's favorite answer in these types of brachot is that he's explaining. What is an asimon? That is, right, the ma'ot that are given as a siman in the Beit HaMerchatz. V'alo tana hachi. Right, that's not, we have a explicit, right, explicit statement that the two don't go together. Mechalim maser sheni al asimon. Tibi Rabbi Dosa. So the Raidot says you can use an asimon. The Maaseh Sheni Chachamim say you can't. Vishavin shei mechalin amot anitanot b'siman the Beit Hamikdash. And they both agree that you can't use tokens as the redemption. So it's clear here that they're two different items. We're only arguing about one of the two items. It's clear that it's not farish kam mifarish le. So they reject that being asimon over here being the explanation as of the explanation for asimon being that it's the tokens that you give in the Beit Hamikdash. El Amar Rabbi Yochanan my asimon pulsa. What is the asimon? Asimon here is a pulsa. Now, pulsa, Rashi says, is something that is mechusar tzura, lacks form, lacks the image. On the coin, again, we discussed earlier in the parak at the beginning of the Mishnah, Rashi thinks that an asimon here is mechusar tzura. Rabbeinu Tam, on the Mishnah, says that it's not lacking a tzura, but it actually has a tzura, but has a tzura that's not well accepted, or is worn down. So the coin is not, Tosis asks on the Mishnah, on Rabbeinu Tam. Come on, Rabbi Dosu Damar Mechalin al Asimon. Rabbi Shmuel Damur Devar Chad Detanya Betzarta Kesef. The Rabbot Kol Devar Nitzrabiya. Div Rabbi Shmuel. We keep on Mer Rabbot Kol Devar Sheish Bo Tzura. Mashma Rabbi Shmuel Lo Bayi Tzura. By Asimon Yesh Bo Tzura. Right. According to this, you're going to see in a second that the reason that we don't accept Asimonim, or the reason that Rabbi Shmuel does not accept Asimonim, is because it's lacking in a Tzura. And the Rabbi Yonatan's whole shot is that an Asimon has a Tzurah. Not a good Tzurah. So according to Rashi, it works, Kav V'chalak, it's easy, Kav V'naki, it's easy to explain Rashi in this case, because that's exactly what Rashi is saying. Rabbi Yonatan has to, squeeze in to work how it works. That means a Tzurah, but not a good Tzurah. That's really what he means over here. Again, this Gemara flows better according to the way Rashi explained in the Mishnah. Right now, Gemara says, Amar Avaz the Rabbi Yochanan Tamei. Rabbi Yochanan is going to go into his own reasoning. What is that? Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Dosa, and Rabbi Shmuel Amru Devar Echad. Rabbi Dosa over here says that you can use an Asimon to be Mechalal Maaseh Sheni, saying the same thing as Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Dosa had Amran. We brought Rabbi Dosa in the Braisa before, which is that Asimon is good for Mechalal Maaseh Sheni. Rabbi Shmuel, Maihi. What is the position of Rabbi Shmuel? The Tanya, Bitzarta Kesef Yadecha. It says by Maaseh Sheni, Bitzarta Kesef Yadecha, you will take the Kesef up to Yerushalayim. The Rabot, Kol Davar Nitzrab Yad Devir Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel says that you take anything you can put in your hand. Akiva Mer, the Rabot, Kol Davar Sheish Alav Tzura. Akiva says no. Includes anything that has an image on it that you can use, implying that Rabbi Shmuel believes, right, that it doesn't require an image. So that means that Rabbi Dosa and Rabbi Shmuel, who think that you can be Mechalel on Maaseh Sheni, believe that Asimon is something that does not have an image. Because if Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Dosa said the same thing, Rabbi Dosa just said an Asimon can be used to be Mechalel Maaseh Sheni on it, and Rabbi Shmuel is saying, what can you use for it to be Mechalel Maaseh Sheni? Anything that can be held in your hand. So that means that as opposed to Rabbi Kiva, who says requires tzura, image. It means Rabbi Shmuel does not require an image. And he's agreeing with Rabbi Dosa, who says Asimon. So it must be that's again what Tosa said in the Mishnah, questions are being on top of Shat based on this, because it sounds like from this Gemara that an Asimon is something without a Tzura. Right now, Kitsa, how does it work? Mashach Eminu Perot, Benonatan no Mo'ot, Enu Yachod Achzorbo. If he did a Kenyan Mashicha on the Perot, and then he didn't give him the Ma'ot, Enu Yachod Achzorbo, you can't reverse it. I mean, once you've done the Kenyan Mashicha is good to make it irreversible. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. So this is Machlokes. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Dvar Torah Ma'ot Konot. In a Torah, right? Ma'ot are Konot. Umipnei Ma Amru Mishicha Koneh. Right, so then why do we say that Mishicha is Koneh? Gzeira Shema Yomar Lo Nisbruch Yitecha Ba'aliyah. Again, this is what we're discussing all the way along. We don't want the Mocher to have the possession of the item and then not want to deal with it because, right, Nisbruch Yitecha. So, right? Man Deshoda Deleka Ba'ishlumet. So, I mean, in the end, whoever lit the fire is going to pay. I mean, if someone set a fire there, they set a fire, they're going to pay the hezek that they did. If they pay the hezek, they'll either pay it to the mocher or the koneh. The koneh is not out of money here. Ela, seir shema tipol, lake of onus. I mean, obviously, it's a case where the fire wasn't started by someone, it wasn't an arsonist, right? But rather, it was an accident. There was an accidental fire that spread, or an onus of some sort. Imukle b'shute masar nafshei. Right, if we put it in his possession, then he's going to be Masar Nafshei. He's going to make sure that he gets it. Why? Tarach Matzil. Because he will go to it. Be low. Right? If we don't do this, well, Masar Nafshei. Tarach Umatzil. Right? So if he doesn't do this, if we don't do that, he won't give up. He won't make the extra effort to go and save it. Meaning that if it's his possession, he knows Lokach can back out of it, then he's going to run to save it because he'll be out of his money if he doesn't save it. If, on the other hand, we say the sale's done and completed with the Ma'ot, they'll just say, you know what, it's not worth my extra effort. The Lokeach, it's his money, it's his loss, let it go. You know, I'm not going to go after it. Rav Ish Lakish, right, says, on the other hand, Amar Mishicha Mifureshet Min HaTorah. Shechar is the kinyan that is established by the Torah. Ma'ot do not work in the Torah. My time at the Rish Lakish. Amar Kra. It says when you purchase something from your friend, okana yad amitecha. Dvar anikne miyad biyad. Something that is given hand to hand. What is that? That's a kinyan mishicha. That kinyan mishicha is what represents the kinyan that the Torah is discussing. Right, so just quickly over here, we have to discuss a couple things. The first thing Tosfos asks over here is that Tarach umacher umatzil, right, that what type of people are we dealing with over here? It sounds to be like we have a takanat chachamim over here that says that we force the buyer and we force the seller to deal with the property because otherwise he's going to let it burn. If it's not his, he's going to let it go to waste. Talking about b'shaim over here, what type of people are we talking about? Number one. Number two is, right, we said in the Mishnah that even though we say that you need a mishicha to have it to make the transaction irreversible, but if you do ma'ot without mishicha, the chachamim say it doesn't work. We said over there, Mishapara. If you back out of a transaction without the Mishicha, you still have a curse of Mishapara. So now, what's going to happen over here? The Chitim will be in the Aliyah, right, and be burnt up, and the Lokech will say, you know what, I'm backing out of the transaction. Wait, the Lokech's backing out of the transaction, even if he backs out, it's a Mishapara. So why would the Mocher will say, listen, the Lokech's not going to back out, because then he's going to get the Mishapara. And again, if you say, oh, he's worried about the guy in another Russia, we're dealing with Rishayim here again, who is going to back out even though there's a Misha Parah on him, there's a curse on him for backing out, he's going to back out anyway. So we're making a Gzeirah for a Lokeach, who's a Russia, who's going to back out of the transaction, and to take care of a Mocher Russia, who's going to not sit by and watch the fire go.
I'm playing on Mocher.
Right. So that's it. Tosa says in the end, he says, yeah. Tosa says, the Yishlamar. That's what the vade lo dikto al mishum sheinam mihuganim. Exactly. The whole tokana, the whole seva was established for those people who would not act appropriately. Shenichu perot chavrihem lishrof. And that they would let their friend stuff burn up and for lokeach go back out. Now, the Rabbeinu Tam says no. Rabbeinu Tam says the case here is mifaresh dimnifsrufu yachol lokeach gzor afilu Rabbi Shimon. Rabbeinu Tam goes over here, goes out on a limb and says, according to everybody, if in this case the lokeach can back out of the transaction without a mishapara, even according to Rabbi Shimon, which we'll see later on in the Gemara, right, how he explains it, but that the lokeach is entitled to back out over here. Now, if the lokeach is entitled to back out without a mishapara,
this is only according to the Rish Lakish, where they've been that Moses is not going to
do it. Not even according to Rabbi Yochanan. According to Rabbi Yochanan, the Gezeiros can come in, took away the is mafkia, the kinyan ma'ot, and says that you need a kinyan mashicha in order for it to work. That's all takanas chamim. So takanas chamim says that the kinyan ma'ot does not work, really. Now, they say generally, in the case of the ma'ot, it would work enough to be mishapara. That if you back out of it then we curse you, but it's not enough to say you're not allowed to back out of it.
Since they negated that type of kinyan, so they have to add in the protection of...
Right, don't walk away from the kinyan in that case. So Rabbeinu Tam says it's suspended in this case. In the case where Nishfu Chitecha Baliyah, it's totally suspended, and Lokeach can walk away from the transaction. So the fact that is what's giving the Tokev to the Mokher over here. Because the Lokeach can walk away from the transaction entirely, then the Mokher is really going to be worried. He's going to say, oh my gosh, this guy's, it's burning up in the upstairs. I got to take care of it because Lokeach can walk here. It's not just the Lokeach can walk away from it, it's also the Mokher. I mean, what is the case here is the Mokher, the value of the prop, what's the incentive for the Mokher? Why do we give the incentive to keep taking care of the property here? The incentive is that when the mocher gives it over to the lokeach, right, he can also back out if it goes up in value. If it goes up in value, the mocher can also walk away and take the higher value. So we give the mocher an incentive. So again, Tosfos asks, what are we dealing with? Again, in Russia, there's still mishapara for the mocher to walk away, right? What's the, that he can walk away from it? So that's, so the Tosfos says, yeah, in the end, it's all about enum huaganim. These are all people who don't worry about it. But again, the Rabbeinu Tam explains the whole case here is that Nisrufu and that the Lokeach can walk. That he's allowed to walk without any problems of Mishit Parah. Alright, the Gemara continues to explain the machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish over here. So, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Miyad, what is the word Miyad? I mean, he has the same pasuk that Reish Lakish has. The Meute Karka Delet Be Ol Na'ah. He comes to explain the same pasuk that we learn out this Kenyan from, we also learn about the Isur of Ol Na'ah. And that Isra Bona'ah only applies to things that are going miyad miyad, that go from person to person, those are metaltalin. By karka, there's no din of Bona'ah. We won't discuss it today, but there's the Indian of Bona'ah, and why by karka, or how much by karka are you allowed to overcharge, that will be for the sugyo of Bona'ah. Right now, v'yesh lakish imkein lichtov kra, v'chim timkru memkar miyad amitecha, al tonu. And then she just read the pasuk. She just said, "Chim tibku machem yadam itaf al tonu." Or okana lomali. Why did it have the extra term of okana? Shvamina the mishicha. That's teaching you two things. One is miyad from your hand, meaning that is the talfrim I have the din of okana. But number two is also okana means teaching me that not only is it a din of okana about metalfrim, but also mishicha, that there's a kinyan mishicha. Rabbi Yochanan says okana mayovidly. What does he do with the extra okana here? We buy the tzana. He needs it for the price of the chitim kru memkar altonu. I only know if the buyer was overcharged. If the mocher was cheated out, the buyer paid too little for it. Minayin, how do you know? Talmud Omar, okana altonu. It goes in both ways, miyad and okana. That the one who is selling and the one who is buying, both of them are in the category of ona. Reish Lakish starte gomer minay. And Reish Lakish learns both of them out. Means that he sees that word teaching us both. And okana can teach you both the fact that ona applies both to the kone and the mocher, and then also the fact that there is a kinyan mishicha over here, which is going to mean yad li yad. Right. So just to take a step back for a second here about kinyan ma'ot. So when it comes to kinyan ma'ot, how do kinyan ma'ot work? So we have again machlokas here in the Gemara between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish about whether it's kinyan ma'ot, kinyan kesef, is midoraita or midrabanan. Now, the poskim disagree here about how it functions. How does a kinyan ma'ot function over here? The kinyan ma'ot me did pure own, in that it's a payment that we're dealing with over here, that you have to pay the entire amount of the chayfetz, the entire amount of the object. Right? And if you don't pay the entire amount, you have to take on yourself or obligate yourself as a loan for the other amount. So kinyan ma'ot is really here, where it's a value exchange, where when I pay you the money, right, I'm paying you the whole amount of the object, even though maybe I'm not paying the whole amount today, I'm making it some sort of down payment, but at the moment that we're buying the object, I'm giving the full value of the object, either in real money today, or in the obligation to pay you. Or, is the din of kinyan by ma'ot to say, ma'asik kinyan? Right, it's actually a physical kinyan over here. And therefore, all you need is a puta. You don't need the full value of the object. The kinyan kesef here is simply a kinyan. That's exactly what it is. When you do the kinyan, right, that kinyan represents, right, a some sort of, either you could say, gemir tadat, or more, even more so, a maisa kinyan. It represents a maisa kinyan over here. And that maisa kinyan is what generates the kinyan and not the value that's being exchanged. The actual, it's the physical kinyan that you take on the money, not the value that's being exchanged. Now it's clear that the way it works, the kinyan kesef says tumura is an exchange. So obviously they're an exchange. All right, now when we talk about it being a value exchange, how does the kinyan actually work? So there's actually three opinions in the Rishon Machlonim. That one is that the makneh has to receive the money. And that if we're doing about an exchange here, that the whole purpose here is that the money actually gets to the seller. The money gets to the seller, that's what generates the kinyan over here. There are others like Shemishkap and others that suggest that maybe it has to be not only that the recipient gets the money, but the giver must give the money. So that, okay, not for me to between them is if a third party gives the money. Third party gives the money, then the receipt of the money on behalf by the seller over here would be enough to create the kinyan. Now that if you require that the koneh, the buyer, also give up money or give up something, then that wouldn't be sufficient unless, again, he's sending that person as a shliach or unless he's obligating himself to pay for it. But if he's not out money, maybe it would not work as a kinyan over here, according to Rav Shemishkav. The third possibility is what? That the netinat hakesef, the giving of the money, creates a chov, an obligation of repayment on behalf of the mocher, and the way he pays that back is through the chayfetz that he gives you. That's the way, there are three possibilities again of how it works here. The kinyan of the kinyan kesef. Either it works by the receipt of the money by the makneh. His receipt of the money is what generates the kinyan, because that is the exchange, value exchange. So his receipt is what generates his obligation now to give you the other object. Or do we say that it's the giving of the money, giving up of the money by the buyer, and the receipt of that money by the makneh that does it? That's like almost an extension of what we just said. But there will be nafkah minot. And the other way to express it is that the money now obligates the mocher. And that there is a kinyan here of sorts that is done by the acceptance of the money or the giving of the money, but rather the giving of the money actually now obligates the mocher to repay the money. Now he can repay the money in kind. That in kind is the object that he is trying to buy over here. So we view the giving of the object is piran achov, is paying back the loan that was just given in the buyer of, by the buyer of the object, or the money that was given over here. So again, just to summarize, there's a machlokus by Rabbi Yochanan Shlokish by Mammon, where it's a rise of the Rabbanon. Even there is a machlokus amongst the Achronim, whether Rabbi Yochanan literally means the orais, or is it asmachta ben alma. Ben Yeshua suggests that it's just an asmachta, not literally a the orais over here. And on the other hand, the Minchas Chinuch suggests that it literally means a deoraisa. We also discuss what is the form, how does the kinyan kesef, how does it work over here? Is it kinyan kesef because you're giving the value, and therefore all the value must be given at the day, or again, is it a maisa kinyan? If it's a maisa kinyan, you just need something, you don't need, just need a pruta, something that is considered valuable, but not a full value of the object. So is a pruta sufficient, or at the time you give it, you have to give all value, whether it's the money itself as a down payment plus the loan, or the full amount of value. And as we discussed, is what exactly generates the kinyan. Is the kinyan generated by the receipt of the money by the matneh? Or, again, a derivative of that is that the giving of the money and the receipt of the money, meaning the giving by the buyer and the receipt by the seller. Or is it that there's a loan being generated here? When you give the money, now owes you, in return you is chayav, the gaver now is chayav to repay you. That gaver, when it's chayav to repay you, can pay you in kind. The agreement was that he pays you with the object, and that would be a piron hachov. Okay, just to finish up the Gemara over here. Tanan, we have a Mishnah. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Kol Asher HaKesef B'Yado, Yado Al Yonah. Whoever has the money in his hand has the upper hand here. Mocher Hu D'Matzi HaDebe, Lo Keach Lo Matzar HaDebe. The Mocher can back out of the transaction, but the Lokeach, but the buyer cannot back out of the transaction. Meaning that, who has the money? The buyer gave the money to the seller. Now the seller has the merchandise that he's trying to buy, and then he can give back the, he has, also has the money in his hands. So now he's able to reverse it. Lokeach stuck. So, if you say that mode konot midoraisa mishum hafi mocher matzi adarbei lukach lo matzi adarbei, then you can say if the ma'ot mina Torah work, and now there's a gzerat chachamim, there's a tekanat chachamim here, which suggests that we are trying to protect the lokeach over here, and we're trying to protect the lokeach over here. How do we protect the lokeach? By allowing the mocher to back out of the transaction. The mocher can back out of the transaction, then he can back out of it if the value goes up. I mean, we could say that the Chachamim established this way, that the Mocher can reverse it, not the Lokeach. Because again, they wanted to incent the Mocher to do something. So if the Mocher knows that if it goes up in value, he can back out of the transaction. There'll be Moser Nefesh in order to get in those instances. But, if you say that Ma'ot do not generate the Kinyan at all, like Rish Lakish, that's all the Rabbanan, Lokeach Namin Laderbeh, then the Lokeach should back out of it also. Meaning that the Lokeach and Mocher should be on equal footing here. If there's no real Kinyan, a little bit Kinyan Meshicha, and a Kinyan Ma'ot don't do anything, then the Lokeach and Mocher should be balanced over here. So I'm a Rish Lakish, I'll leave it to Rabbi Shimon, Lokamina. Rish Lakish says, you're right, I don't fit into Rabbi Shimon. Kia Kamina, I'll leave it to Rabbanan. I hold like the Rabbanan, that's all Lakha's like, so I hold like the Rabbanan. Bish Lama Rish Lakish, I know Dika Ben Rabbi Shimon, the Rabbanan. According to Rish Lakish, now he explains the difference between Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbanan. Rabbi Shimon believes that Ma'ot Kanot, right, are, Rabbi Shimon believes Ma'ot Kanot midoraisa, and the Rabbanan believes Ma'ot are Kanot only midorabanan, or that it only works midorabanan, that Kinyashicha is only Kinyan midoraisa. So Rabbi says, I pass on like the Rabbanan, but that's exactly what they're arguing about. Rabbi Shimon and Rabbanan are arguing in my machlokas with Rabbi Yochanan, and I hold like the Rabbanan. Rabbi Yochanan, Ma'ika ben Rabbi Shimon, the Rabbanan. According to Rabbi Yochanan, they both hold that it's Ma'ot Konot Midoraisa. So what's the difference between Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbanan? So Ma'ika says, Ika ben Ayod Rabbi Chista. Their machlokas is about Rabbi Chista. Damar Rabbi Chista. Kederach she'tiknu mishicha b'mochrim, kak tiknu mishicha b'kuchot. That is exactly their machlokas. What does din of mishicha that the chachamim were metakein? Were they metakein only mishicha by the mochrim, or is mishicha also an application to the kuchot? Shimon laid the Rav Chista. He doesn't hold the Rav Chista, and therefore it's only the mocher can back out of it, not the lokeach. Rabbanan laid the Rav Chista, right? And the Rabbanan do have Rav Chista that they hold the Rav Chista that the lokeach and the mocher can back out of it. So just like their mishicha was nitkan in order to protect the, or to make incentive the Mocher, so too the Lokeach was given the right to back out. They're both given the right by Meshicha to back out. Okay, we'll stop over here.